right at the top of the show. Special guest, you know, I talked about him since high school. And right now he plays for the Phoenix Suns. He joins us on a Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, Mikal Bridges. Mikal, what's up, man? What's going on?
Just home, chilling.
Yeah.
Well,
you got to start off with telling us about what's going on. Everything gets shut down and you guys are stuck in. So tell us right away, Mikal, what has it been like being in isolation since basically March 11th?
I mean, it's crazy. Just not to be able to do anything, you know, shut down everything, gyms and everything. So you kind of like, you know, do all your workouts like inside. It's kind of weird not touching the basketballs as well. So, I mean, it's just awkward and it's just difficult for everybody.
Yeah. So how have the Suns training staff or anything asked you guys or given you guys things individually to work out on during this time?
Yeah, like our show people hit us up and we could, it'll send some, you know, workouts, you know, depending on what type of equipment you got at home to do inside. So, other than that, yeah, just, you know, our coach is just checking up on us, you know, mostly all the time to see how we're doing.
So the last game you played was on March 10th in Portland. That was a Tuesday night. Everything came down on a Wednesday night, as we know what happened with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Utah Jazz. What was that like as you guys returned to Phoenix, but getting that news, as you said, different for everybody, and now we're just all adjusting to it? What was it like the day after?
I guess it's shocking. Just like, didn't think it was going to get that crazy, and then it did, and now, like, it just kind of, you know, woke us up to let us know what's really going on in the world. So, but it was really just shocking knowing that, like, the whole season's ending, and it's just, I think the NBA hasn't had something like that since, like, what, the lockdown?
Yep, the lockout.
So, like, that's just unbelievable.
Yeah, so, again, Mikal Bridges joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast of the Phoenix Suns. And Mikal, I reached out to you because I was like, oh man, first of all, we missed a game where you were coming here on the 27th. That was disappointing. And just to let the people know, I was supposed to be coming back this morning from visiting you this past weekend to check out your game out there. But of course, that was put on hold, on hiatus because of what's going on with the NBA. But the NCAA tournament, that everything was shut down there as well. So we said, why not just flash back to 2016 and 2018? You got two titles, two rings, and obviously difficult time for everybody because everybody wants sports back. But just thinking about it, you guys doing some Zoom video conferences with Jay Wright, the team doing stuff with news networks to kind of look back and flash back to those particular games. I had a chance to watch one of the games that they replayed on FS1 where you went off in the Big East Championship game in overtime where you guys played against Providence. So just looking back to 2016 where your roommate and your teammate, Phil Booth, dropped 20 in that championship game. Going back to that one, just as we look back, flashback to everything that happened and then ultimately Chris Jenkins knocking down the shot to give you guys that title. What are your memories again, just looking back to what happened on April 4th, 2016?
That was just crazy, you know, just that whole game. You know, I was in foul trouble myself, so I wasn't really playing as much. But just a back and forth. I mean, the Final Four experience was just unbelievable. Just, you know, you dream about that as a kid and going through that whole situation and then, you know, having the lead, then blowing the lead, and then Paige hits that crazy shot. Yep. And now it's like, okay, now they got momentum. So if we go into OT, like, they're going to be, you know, on one because they just got this whole momentum. And just came in the huddle after that shot by Paige, and just everybody was calm and just practiced what we, you know, do what we practice and had the same play that we run all the time. And, you know, Chris let it go. You could just see by everybody's reaction where most of us already thought it was going to go in, and we were just all excited.
You were running off the bench already because if people remember, it was that those stairs from the bench to the floor, right, because it was elevated. And you were already running on the floor basically before the shot went in.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah, I kind of already knew. I mean,
because you saw it before. You've seen it before.
No, I've seen him shoot, but we never got that part actually of the play in practice, like that kick behind. Usually we go against each other, so we know the play, so we know not to give up that three.
Right.
So it's kind of like either Archer shoot it or, well, in that instance, Buffel coming off like a screen. So either them two got the ball. So we never actually get that shot, but our assistant coach, Ashley Howard, who's head coach of LaSalle right now, he was right before the play even happened, we were taking the ball out and stuff, he's like sitting there on the bench, like all hype, like, this is game. It's about to be cash. Like, he already called. He already knew it. He had no worries. And then that happened, and we were just all going crazy.
Yeah, so what were the range of emotions like, though, in general, in the huddle? After, like you said, after Marcus Page nailed that double clutch shot, which you guys broke up defensively, and he had to scramble and shoot a great shot by him. You shake his hand for that one. But the range of emotions from the huddle with everything going on and then ultimately Chris knocking down that shot.
Yeah, I mean, we was all calm and ready for the next play after that happened. Kind of put our heads down. I mean, that's kind of how we are at Nova. Just like, you know, attitudes are the biggest thing. So we really, you know, didn't have our heads down. We just, you know, got in the huddle and came in and coach, you know, drove the play like we always run. And we were just mentally ready for the next play.
And that was an amazing shot. Goes down in history of all time. And, of course, the first one that was there for you during your redshirt freshman season on the floor. Your final season, your redshirt junior season, before you declared, of course, for the NBA, that was when you dropped 19 in the game. Dante DiVincenzo goes off for a game-high 31. You win 79-62 over Michigan. The difference between the 2 years, what was the difference?
I think that year... We kind of felt dominant throughout the whole year, our 18 year.
Yep.
16, we were still dominant, but we still, even in the tournament, felt like underdogs. So it was just a different type of experience. Final Four, or the first championship, that was our first experience for everybody going to the Sweet 16 to the Final Four. So it was just like, everything was like a surprise, like, oh, this is crazy. And then 18, like, majority of us was already here, so we know how it goes. And we felt like, you know, we were the better team. Like we were just, I mean, after that Western game,
yeah.
I felt like we could beat anybody after that game because how physical they were. So we just were just real confident. And, I mean, like I said, we've been dominating the whole tournament and everything, so we were just ready.
Yeah, and of course, as we know, again, 79-62, you guys, Dante leading the game, you with the second highest point total for the Cats, 19 points, you walk away with your second one. So now, and again, and that leads to everything with you getting ready to go to the NBA, year number two, now with the Phoenix Suns, Mikal Bridges joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, Beyond Fast. Year number two for you, starting majority of the year. What were things like for you with your numbers obviously going up once you were able to start for a big number of the games, averaging 9 points a game, four boards, a few assists tonight, and certainly your steal numbers up as well. In the playoff hunt, playing with the point guard, the difference between last year with Igor and now Monty Williams, the former assistant coach for the Philadelphia 76ers. Now you have Ricky Rubio running the point. A totally different look, and you guys are out there making a playoff push before the season was halted, making the playoff run that you were for one of those final Western Conference spots. How did you feel your season was going overall?
We had injuries and, you know, and everything going on, so kind of tough to have our team for a while, but it was crazy. Right towards the end, we were kind of getting our full team back, and that was happening. People were getting a groove and everything. So, we obviously got better and stuff. You know, it's difficult. A lot of new players, new coaching staff and everything. So, I mean, love all the guys with us, all the coaching staff, and we just, you know, keep trying to get better. We were playing pretty well at the end, you know, came off two wins against Portland and Milwaukee, but then just lost to Portland right after. But we were still playing good, feeling good. So it's just tough when it ends like that.
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to make the playoffs and guys were kind of in a good groove.
And going from year number one to year number two, what would you say the biggest difference was for you in learning and just adapting, of course, to the NBA game?
it's the game comes a little bit easier to you, but I think just, you know, having a new coach and stuff and new offense, you know, trying to find your role. And I struggled with that for a while. And then just struggling a lot and then kind of just kept going and, you know, kept working every day. And coaches making life a little bit easier for a lot of us, trying to change the offense a little bit. And, I mean, got thrown out in the starters and then just, you know, kept playing off that with confidence.
Yeah, and of course, man, just playing a really good brand of basketball. You were before things got shut down. The career high in points against Boston. Just some good games overall that you had in general. And Mikal Bridges again joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Beyond Fast, Kale, you have something going on right around 7 o'clock Eastern, 4 o'clock your time out there in Phoenix, Arizona. Tell the people what you're doing on. What is it? Twitch? You're doing it on?
Yeah, just starting to stream. So I'll be streaming. You know, video games and everything, just playing a couple friends and all that. You know, like playing video games, so I might as well, you know.
Yeah, you might as well stay busy.
For sure.
You might as well. Well, I'm not big into video games, as you know, but if you need an extra guest, you know where I am.
I got you.
All right, cool. Kale, thanks so much, man. Be safe out there. Hope to see you soon. Definitely talk to you soon. Again, we'll talk to you down the line, man, and thanks again for joining us tonight here on The Fanatic.
Yep, no doubt.
You got it, man. I'll talk to you, man. Appreciate it. Mikal Bridges joining us again on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.